Hello, .NET readers, listeners, and members. My name is John Moore, and this is the ProWrestling.net All Access audio review for the WWE 205 live show that aired August 1st, 2017 on WWE Network. After the ad break for the non-members, I'll be going over my audio review for the episode headlined by Aria Daivari versus Akira Tozawa as to who will face Neville for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship at SummerSlam. Okay, welcome back. If you notice a little bit, I'm sounding a little bit happier and optimistic. Of course, to the non-members who didn't get to hear my review last week, there are 205 Live reviews every week. You just get to hear samples every once in a while for a non-member or so. But last week, yeah. I was really down, and I wasn't down due to like life. Life is good. Life is okay in my life. That episode of 205 Live last week was just boring and sucking. It was terrible all across the board. 205 Live does that sometimes. This current episode was not great by any means, but it wasn't awful. We got solid story progression, so thumbs up there. The key to changing this show, just to be honest, is to do some sort of soft and/or hard reset. NXT, the TV show, dare I say, has been bad for a while. And I'm talking about the NXT Weekly show. App before WrestleMania, or at least before February, the show wasn't that great. After Mania, NXT got a new look. New graphics, new announce team, new writing, and they even had Tom Phillips go on air and straight up say that this was a new NXT. After that, I can argue that NXT has been the best weekly wrestling TV show in 2017. But I'm starting to go off tangent. 205 Night Live needs to be reset. But I'll get back on track with this episode. If you would like to follow along with me, you can check out my written review, which is posted on prowrestling.net. I'll be using it for notes and as an outline. Now, without further ado, let's get into the review. This week's episode, like I said, aired August 1st, 2017, in Cleveland, Ohio, at the Quicken Loans Arena, the land of LeBron James. The opening video of 205 Live showed highlights from this little side feud we're getting with Akira Tozawa and Aria Daivari. And it ended, at least the video package did, with Daivari laying out both Neville and Tozawa. They didn't really put too much attention on it this week, which I thought they should have at least a little bit. But Akira Tozawa handed Neville his one of his rare singles losses last week, where he beat Neville via count out. The only other person to beat Neville in about a year has been Austin Aries, and Austin Aries also won by count out. But of course, Neville hasn't been pinned or submitted in a long time in a singles match. He's submitted in a tag match, if I remember correctly, via the Austin Aries last chancery. Austin Aries is no longer with the company, but of course he had a huge role in 205 Live the last couple months. After the opening song, Vic Joseph and Corey Graves checked in on commentary. Graves and Joseph, just because this episode did come after SmackDown. So they were hyping up the John Cena versus Shinsuke Nakamura conclusion. Graves called Nakamura a rock star, blah blah blah. They also hyped Grand Metalik versus Tony Nese for later in the episode. And of course, this was one of the rare appearances by Grand Metalik. We rarely see the guy on 205 Live. We see him more on WWE Superstars, I hear. I'm not sure why, but yeah, Grand Metalik, the second place dude in the WWE CWC. Also, a very good wrestler from CMLL that WWE doesn't want to utilize, and they kind of treat him like Mystico in the bad way, not the good ways that they treat Mystico. Let's move on. We have Brian Kendrick making his entrance. He started to cut the same promo that he cut last week, calling Jack Gallagher a clown and calling the fans stupid for liking a clown. That promo was terrible last week. Kendrick delivers it fine. The material he had to deliver was just awful. Luckily, Jack Gallagher cut him off, and this was for a match coming up. So our first match of the night was Jack Gallagher versus the Brian Kendrick. This was pretty much one-sided, but Brian Kendrick ended up winning. He defeated Jack Gallagher via disqualification in 1 minute and 23 seconds. I don't think there was an official announcement, but I'm gonna go with the DQ, and Corey Graves agreed because he said it looked like a DQ. The end of the match was so Brian Kendrick could barely get any offense in. He was laying prone on the apron because Jack Gallagher was beating him up so much. And Jack Gallagher grabbed onto the ropes while Kendrick was under the ropes and just started stomping on Kendrick. Kendrick had no chance. And of course, you're only allowed to, like, when there's a rope break, to attack or submit the person for 5 seconds. Jack Gallagher surpassed the 5 seconds, therefore, Brian Kendrick won. But nice little mean streak by Jack Gallagher. This was foreshadowed at the beginning of the match, where you had Corey Graves hyping up Jack Gallagher's legit MMA background. And Jack Gallagher opened up the match with a Muay Thai clinch, where you grab the guy and start kneeing and elbow striking and headbutting and all that good stuff from the Muay Thai. But even though Jack Gallagher had to take a loss, this was solid. He had enough of what Kendrick had to say. And Kendrick has more fuel for upcoming weeks to say he beat Jack Gallagher and that he's smart and all that stuff. So this was a good way to progress the feud. I just hope they don't go back to lame photoshopping like they did a week before. That wasn't heat. That was just cheap and boring. And something that you don't really care to see on your WWE television. Let's move on. We were shown Rich Swann and Mustafa Ali playing a WWE 2K game on the PS4. Ali was AJ Styles and Rich Swann was Kevin Owens. Ali was winning, and he was like showboating to Rich Swann. TJP comes in and makes fun of Rich Swann for losing at the game. This is the same encounter we've had the last couple of weeks between TJP and Rich Swann, where they're sort of trying to one up each other. Rich Swann says TJP is probably obsessed, and Perkins has continued to act cocky like he does every week. So this all led to Rich Swann proposing a one-on-one match between the two for next week, and TJ Perkins agreed. They also ended up playing the 2K game for this week. So, yeah, we have TJP versus Rich Swann next week. The last time TJP faced Rich Swann, they had a really, really good match, but they're trying to tell this new story. I'm not really intrigued with this story because TJ Perkins is playing this really douchey, cocky dude. I think he's trying to go for Kobe Bryant, but to me, he comes off as a bit of a low-rent version of Nick Young, aka Swaggy P, who's on the Golden State Warriors now. He played for the Lakers for a long time. That's how I know about Nick Young through the media. And Nick Young always was this very cocky, very laid-back dude who would be like, "I'm the best and no one else is." Just think of what TJP is doing. The problem with TJP's delivery as opposed to Swaggy P, Swaggy P, it did feel like he was acting, but there was some bit of organic to it. TJP totally sounds like he's acting. What I think he should do, and I've seen him perform this bit before in TNA, is he should just play the upbeat happy baby face. A like buddy, a friend to people, because I think that would seem a bit more him. Or at least he should find something that's more organic, more him, rather than him trying to act like something. But that's the problem with TJP. And at the same time, he's in this very awkward spot of being a soft baby face, a heel. He turned heel, hard heel, against Austin Aries. Then he ended up getting a title shot against Neville. So I guess he soft turned it back to baby face. And now he's kind of a heel or a respectful baby face. I don't know. Don't really care. This whole TJP versus Rich Swanding, even though the matches between the two are really good, it seems like they're spinning their wheels with them. Yeah. Hopefully next match is good enough to make me forget how weird this feud has been. Our next match of the night. So first, before the ma next match, we had Tony Nese coming out for a promo. He cuts the same promo that he usually does. He also got some cheap hit heat in on the Cleveland fans. He talked about his muscles and how cut he is. We had Grand Metalik returning. He has a new mask this time. He usually has a full, speaking of Mystico, has the full mask that covers the eyes and the mouth. He has a open mouth mask now, and he cut a PNP promo that they actually expanded to the screen. Metalik said it doesn't matter how you look, but what depends is your ability and your technique. Metalik said what matters most is your corazón, your heart. And that's what Grand Metalik has. So our second match of the night was Grand Metalik versus Tony Nese in a singles match. And the match was good until the ending, which had Tony Nese defeating Grand Metalik via pinfall in 6 minutes and 27 seconds. The ending of the match, let's see, so there's lots of nice reversals. Metalik had escaped the move, went higher risk. Nese tripped him off the top rope and hit him with a running corner knee to pick up the win. So it was a kind of regular move for cruiserweight standards. And it's fine, it's a good finisher, but Tony Nese doesn't really gain anything because he's been established as the bottom of the rung, the bottom rung of the cruiserweight division. And Grand Metalik started the WWE 205 Live as the number two guy, or you would assume because he was the runner up in the WWE CWC. Ever since then, we've never seen him. We never saw Akira Tozawa at first, and now he's presented as the star of the show, the babyface star. But Grand Metalik, you would think he had the same potential, but he has lost to Tony Nese, Arya Daivari, and Noam Dar. I looked this up on Pro Fight sorry, what did I say? Pro Fight DB, which shows you their win loss records. And yeah, he lost to Tony Nese and Arya Daivari, and that's not the upgraded Arya Daivari, the undercard Arya Daivari of like 2 months ago. So very odd. And Tony Nese doesn't gain anything either, because he's in this dead end body guy character. I can't think of a way to make the body guy work. The best person I've seen perform that character in recent memory has been Jesse Godders, of all people. Former reality star, been in TNA for a little while until recently. Of course, speaking of TNA, another current guy who has the same dead-end gimmick is Chris Masters. If we could have cross-promotional trading, I would trade Tony Nese away to TNA slash GFW slash Impact for Eli Drake. Eli Drake deserves to be out of Impact and in NXT, WWE, or somewhere where he would get to present his good talking skills. And he's not a bad wrestler either. He had a really good main event against Alberto El Patron earlier this year. Eli Drake. Eli Drake. Ugh, why did I say that? But, and Tony Nese can go hang out with his fellow body buddy, Chris Masters. They're both, body guys, doesn't work out. Let's move on. Before I get all negative, maybe to keep me off the negative, I will take a little break from this audio review. I'll start talking about .NET membership, which y'all should check out. For $7.50 a month, you can get full-on access to all the audio reviews of all the major shows, including WWE Raw, SmackDown, 205 Live, NXT, we got Ring of Honor, GFW Impact, Lucha Underground, and whatever other reviews I'm forgetting at the moment. We have hours and hours of audio shows, a compendium, if you will, of wrestling in the last few years. You can check out our thoughts in a time capsule. So, you see what we're thinking now. You can see what we were feeling like 3, 4, 5 years ago, and see what we were thinking about the pro wrestling world back then. See how WWE was when they were in 2-hour Raws. Remember when that was a thing? Now we have 3-hour Raws. We have NXT takeovers. Back then, there were no NXT takeovers. There was FCW. I don't even know if we were talking about FCW back then, but you can check our thoughts. Our most popular show, or our biggest show at least, is our .NET Weekly audio show. It's our flagship show. It's where Jason Powell and a co-host go over all the major pro wrestling news of the week. Sometimes the co-host of the show is one of us staff members. Or it could be one of the many pro wrestling personalities in the pro wrestling world, and maybe even some in the not pro wrestling world, whoever we get to offer solid insight on pro wrestling. Well, speaking of which, last week's co-host was former WWE creative writer Court Bauer, and he's also currently the promoter for the MLW promotion, which is doing a one-shot event coming up. Also, the week prior to Court Bauer co-hosting, we had a former star of the CBS hit series Survivor, Johnny Fairplay. I can go over a bit more of the audio and some of the benefits of .NET membership, but that would take too long. Just know that we pump out a lot and a lot of audio all the time. And we don't just go for quantity, even though we do give a lot in quantity. We don't sacrifice quality. We offer solid quality in all our audio reviews. Trust me on that. Again, it's $7.50 a month. You can try it out for 1 month, see what you think. Or you can take us up on our annual option, which will bring the price down to an average of $5.50 a month. So make sure to check out and sign up on our homepage, and I believe you'll think it's worth it if you're a pro wrestling fan who likes solid analysis. So, now let's get back into the audio review. Backstage, we had Dasha Fuentes interviewing Neville. We know it's Dasha Fuentes because and every time Neville is interviewed by Dasha Fuentes, he always goes, "Dasha." He has a specific way of pronouncing some words. He talked about how, so Dasha wanted to know who he wanted to face, Tozawa or Daivari. He said he doesn't want to face no one, of course, because he's a heel. He said he thought he would quell Tozawa's ambition at WWE Great Balls of Fire. That's the way he pronounces it. And he said Tozawa has come back worse than ever because of the injury. He also said he didn't know Daivari existed before last week, of course, when Daivari beat him. He then went to his typical lines by saying that he hopes that both men bend down and kneel in front of the King of the Cruiserweights, and he said that defeat and humiliation awaits both men at SummerSlam. So not just defeat, they will both be humiliated, according to Neville. So, this leads us to our next segment and match. First, Daivari came out. He's been doing this weird act the last couple weeks where he would dedicate his matches to a former Iranian Olympian. This week's honoree of the Daivari name drop Olympics was Rasul Kadim, who won the gold medal for Iran in 1996. I believe we had a 60s guy last week, a 50s guy a week before, and a more contemporary guy the 2 weeks prior. So, Not sure why Dabari is all of a sudden the history book for Iranian Olympics. But yeah, I guess. I don't know what they're trying to do with it. But okay. After that, he said he was going to dedicate his upcoming Cruiserweight Championship win at SummerSlam to Rasul Kadim. Kira Tozawa made his entrance, and he's of course wearing a entirely bandaged left arm. Our third match of the night was Arya Daivari versus Akira Tozawa in a singles match to become number one contender to the WWE Cruiserweight Championship and to have a match against Neville at WWE SummerSlam. This was a really good match between the two. It lasted 11 minutes and 18 seconds. I'll get into the ending part. So we had Tozawa escaping Daivari's Hammerlock Lariat. Of course, before that, he had gotten a hit with Daivari's Magic Carpetless Ride, and there was a near fall on Tozawa. I call it the Magic Carpetless Ride because that's what Austin Aries was calling it when he was on commentary. Tozawa hit a Yakuza kick to send Daivari outside. He followed up with a suicide dive, then put Daivari in position for his high flying senton to pick up the win. So Akira Tozawa defeated Arya Daivari via pinfall in 11 minutes and 18 seconds to challenge for the WWE Cruiserweight Championship at SummerSlam. And after the match, we had Corey Graves pointing out that at SummerSlam we have two fellow countrymen. So both Akira Tozawa and Shinsuke Nakamura will be representing Japan in championship matches at SummerSlam. So interesting statistic. I wonder that I don't think this would be the case, but I just wonder if WWE is going to start moving away from India and towards Japan all of a sudden. But that would require Nakamura getting the WWE Championship out of nowhere. It would be fine, and if he could keep it to the WrestleMania, that would be amazing. But then what was the point of having, what you call it, Jinder Mahal as world champion against Randy Orton for so long, only to lose to Shinsuke Nakamura? Whatever. This was a good match. The downside with this match was you can never really take any of Arya Daivari's near falls seriously because Akira Tozawa versus Adrian Neville, I called him Adrian. He lost his first name, just like Elias Sampson lost his last name. And Antonio Cesaro also lost the first name. And Big E Langston, all the people who lose their part of their name. How did I get there? Ah, yes, Adrian Neville. Yes, Neville, sorry, versus Tozawa is a better headline than, say, heel versus heel, Neville versus Daivari. Daivari did gain a little bit from this side feud. What he gained was, some credibility. It seems like WWE is a bit more confident in him compared to, say, a Tony Nese or Drew Gulak. But there's a key here. The key to follow up with this for Arya Daivari is he has to move on and win a feud. He, under all circumstances, lost his feud. It's fine. He came out stronger than before. Now he needs to beat someone credible. That's what this whole situation reminds me of. Just a thought. What really intrigued me, and I'll reference TNA GFW Impact Wrestling for this, about Impact's 2016 was, so I mentioned that NXT was the best show this year since WrestleMania, but before that, or throughout the year to 2016, GFW slash TNA Impact was the best show in 2016, and why? They utilize this. It was Dave Lagana who utilized it. It was a very similar model to what was known as the SmackDown 6 model. It was a model that Paul Heyman came up with. And what it was, what it's, it, you take six wrestlers and thrust them into the main event and don't do parody booking. Just have good matches between these six wrestlers. The SmackDown 6 was Eddie Guerrero, Chavo Guerrero, Kurt Angle, Edge, Rey Mysterio, and Chris Benoit. Great matches between the six. SmackDown had, or Impact had, Drew Galloway. Let's see. Drew Galloway, Mike Bennett, Jeff, Matt Hardy, Bobby Lashley, and EC3. Currently, NXT is using a variation on that SmackDown 6 model. They got Drew Galloway, speaking of, Hideo Itami, Bobby Roode, Roderick Strong, Cassius Ohno, and whoever else I'm forgetting. Maybe they don't have six, maybe they have five, but they can get another heel in there and they'll be solid. Killian Dane. Let's throw in Killian Dane. He's been built up well. But what 205 Live can do is you can take Neville, Tozawa, Jack Gallagher, TJP, Arya Daivari, maybe Drew Gulak or something, and focus on them. Instead, we get win 1 week, lost the other. No one really gaining anything. Some people don't even have anything like Gran Metalik. 205 Live is just a weird and depressing show sometimes. This show was solid, but it's just looking down the tunnel. There's no hope. There's no light at the end of the tunnel. Maybe there is. But at this point, they need to hit a soft reset button and follow some sort of model, like the Paul Heyman SmackDown 6 model or something. That'll be it with my audio review for WWE 205 Live. I'll be back for members tomorrow with my Lucha Underground audio review. And with that said, have a nice one. Bye-bye.